preach what God's laid on your heart. I'm going to skip out. I've got a class in the Philippines that I've got to teach tonight.
I've already yelled at him.
I know, it's awful. But I couldn't rearrange, so Lord bless you as you preach. I will be listening.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. And I've given him 2 demerits for that. I work in Christian school, so I know what demerits are. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. I'm glad you're here. And, 20 years. Boy, time flies, doesn't it? And you don't necessarily have to have fun for time to fly. Amen. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 26. And we'll get into the Word of God and find out what the Lord has for us. Now, remember what I said to you, and I've been doing this for a long time now. I come to make you uncomfortable. That's what an evangelist is supposed to do, is make you uncomfortable. So let's all stand, because you look too comfortable. Amen. And let's honor the Word of God by standing. And Isaiah chapter 26, we're only going to read one verse, and it's verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Lord, we do love you. We thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you for the opportunity that we have tonight to be in your house. What a blessing it is to be amongst friends. What a blessing it is to be in your house. And what a blessing it is to stand behind this pulpit and preach the Word of God. And I pray as your Word goes forth, it'll penetrate hearts. The Holy Spirit of God will take control. And we'll see some great things happen for the honor and glory of Christ. And help us to lift up His name. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now you can get comfortable. No, wait. Don't do that. Amen. All right. He's already left. I was going to give him another demerit with it. All right. I want you to read this verse again. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. It's been said that the mind is a terrible thing to waste. Yet it seems we're more concerned about our bodies than we are our minds. We exercise, we do all the things that we have to do, we diet. A lot of people diet, and they don't realize the word die is in there. And but the fact of the matter... You know, we watch what we eat, and, I went to the doctor, and this has been several years ago now. I went to the doctor, and this little doctor from India was about 2'3", and she was looking up at me like this, and she said, I don't think she'd ever had a full meal in her whole life. She was as skinny as a rail. And she looked up at me, and she says, "You are morbidly obese." I said, "What?" I looked down at her, and she looked up at me, and she said it again. What nerve she had. So we're all concerned about our bodies, but there's something greater than that, and that's our minds. And it doesn't seem like we're as concerned about our minds as we are our bodies. We feed our minds with trash. Yeah. Much of the time we do. By the way of music, the music that we listen to, the TV programming, the internet, rubbish that we look at, books that we read, magazines that we read. We have friends with unfiltered mouths that we listen to, cell phone trash, Facebook, and on, I could go on and on. The result is that we have a mind that's at war with God. We're at war with God. We wonder why we can't have peace in our life. Right. Well, it tells us very plainly how we can have peace in our life. But we're at war with God. I've got an awful lot of scriptures to go. So please, if you're going to follow on, put your walking fingers on. Be ready to turn the pages quickly. Because I've had people say, oh, you go too fast. Well, I'm sorry I do that. If I didn't go too fast, we wouldn't be done on time, and everybody be going, man, oh, you can't shut up. You don't know when to quit. Now, listen, I've heard all of that before. You know, I've been at this for a good many years, okay? So I know what everybody thinks and what everybody says. I'll never come to this place again. He's just too long-winded. I tell you what, I'm not going to go there anymore. So if I offend you tonight, and if I've already offended you, I apologize for that, but I'm just going to be me, okay? That's all I can do is just be me. And you know what? If you're looking for jokes, I don't tell jokes. Everybody laughs at me anyhow, okay? I don't have to tell jokes. I'm just naturally funny, okay? Well, that guy, he's so funny. What? Why am I so funny? I don't know. But anyhow, I had a preacher tell me one time, you thought it was the good preaching I had you come back for. No, that isn't it at all. You're the entertainment. So he thought I was the entertainment. So anyway, what was tonight? Oh, okay. Our minds are at war with God. Look over here in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, and down here in the book of Colossians chapter 1 and verse... Okay, I'll get there. Verse 21, it says this, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. Think about this. Yeah, now hath he reconciled. Think about this. You sometime were alien. You were enemies. Where? In your mind. Somebody says, well, hey, boy, that's a good Christian. But they don't know your mind.
Right.
They don't know what you're thinking. You know, some people can say, oh, I know that guy. You don't know that guy. You have no idea what's in his mind, the wickedness that goes through his mind. You know, we can try to judge other people, and we can try to figure them out, and so on and so forth. But until you can get in their mind, you don't know how wicked they really are. We talk about the heart, but what about the mind?
Yeah, right.
And they're enemies of the Lord, and they're at war with the Lord because of the things that they think. Look over here in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Down here in verses 6 through 8 of Romans chapter 8, it says, for to be carnally. Now, the word carnally means fleshly or sensual. The sensual mind. And if you're talking about sensual, you go over to the book of James, and the book of James says it's devilish. When you're talking about something that's sensual, it's devilish. So we're talking about something that can be devilish here. We're talking, and by the way, I don't have to stretch this out too far. It says right here, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. It's impossible to please God. You can sit there and watch TV all night, and then all of a sudden you're going to change around and be all spiritual when you go to church. You sit there and watch all the things that are going on in this world. Oh, somebody said, it's all right. It was just Fox News. Now, I want to tell you something. It's all fleshly. It's all wicked. It's get your mind off of the things that your mind should be on. And here we go to church. Now, all of a sudden, whoop, I'm spiritual. No, it doesn't work that way. Your mind is corrupt, it's carnal, and it's at enmity with God. You've become His enemy by the way you act, by the way you think, and the things that are going through your mind. Wrong influences. And by the way, we get around other people. And some of you listen to these folks on the radio. That, matter of fact, I had a preacher one time, or not a preacher, I had a guy come and say, my favorite preacher is, and here I was his pastor, and my favorite preacher is Charles Stanley. And I says, you know something, you got to be very careful about these preachers that you see on television and these preachers that you hear on the radio. You've got to be very discerning about a lot of the things that they say, because a lot of the things they say It sounds good, but it's not biblical.
Right.
Amen. You know, you can sound good, but it's not biblical. And by the way, when you get around that type of thing, I don't care how good it sounds, it corrupts you. Okay. My favorite preacher, Charles Stanley, my favorite preacher, and they come up with all these different preachers, talking about preachers I've never heard of. And boy, I really like this guy, and I really like this guy. I remember going to a camp meeting one time, and somebody said it was kind of a youth camp meeting, and they asked the youth, "Who's your favorite preacher?" And all of them came up with this preacher. All he did when he got up was tell stories the whole time that he was there. He read a verse to begin with, and then talked about something completely different than the verse that he read about. And told stories the whole time. And these young people loved it. They ate that up. They ate up something that was not even biblical. You know what? One of the main things I have against camp meetings is, and I love camp meetings, don't get me wrong, but there's some of them that I've been to. It becomes a contest between preachers.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to try to out-preach the last preacher, or I'm going to out-preach the next preacher, whatever it is. I want to be the preacher that everybody says, man, he can preach. Preach it, brother, go. You know, those things I left behind many years ago. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you, I know there's better preachers than me. I know there's better evangelists than me. I know there's guys that can out-preach me. So I'm not trying to outdo anybody. I'm just trying to be me and let God work through me. Now I want you to think about this. The influences that we have. Look over here in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 14. In Acts chapter 14, down here in verse 2, I think it is. It says, "But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren." Here they started listening to all these false teachers. Here these Jews come along, and it affected their minds. Now, here's the people that had heard the truth. They had heard the preaching of the Apostle Paul. And now they're being affected by those that they know that are teaching them the wrong doctrines. And it's affected their minds. And they turn their back on the truth. I wonder how many people have been affected by somebody else that because of something that they've said after somebody's heard the truth, they've been affected by it. They've been convicted by the Holy Spirit of God and come this close to getting saved. And then they walk out and somebody else says, "Ah, you're all right." And it has affected their minds in such a way, I won't go back to another church. I won't listen to that stuff anymore. I don't need that stuff. You know how it affects you? Listen, it can affect you, those type of influences that are around. Then wrong influences also corrupt you. Look, if you will, over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Notice what it says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. It says down here in verse number 3, "But I fear," this is the Apostle Paul talking to the church at Corinth. He says, "But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." You see, the influences that we have can corrupt us. They corrupt our minds. And like I mentioned, I don't know who came up with that saying. I'd give them credit for it. But the mind is a terrible thing to waste. I want to tell you something. Many of our minds have been corrupted. And, you know, I've had guys, people come to church and argue with me about a certain thing that I preached. And I said, "Show me from the Word of God your argument. Show me where I was wrong. Come on, point it out. Don't just say that to me. Show me from the Word of God. If you can't show me from the Word of God that I made a mistake, or I preached a false doctrine, or I came up with something that wasn't right, then don't come to me. I want to know from the Word of God what's right and what's wrong.
Amen.
But they, you know what? They corrupt the minds of these people. And hanging around those type of people will corrupt us. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Over here in 1 Timothy chapter 6, this reminds me so much of the prosperity people nowadays that like the Joel Osteens and so on and so forth that you can see on television, and he wears these fancy suits, and I'm so happy you're here. And he has all these thousands of people that are following him, and he's lying through his big green teeth. Notice what it says here in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 5. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. Corrupt minds. And these people with corrupt minds are trying to corrupt you by getting you to fall for the prosperity gospel, thinking that gain is what it's all about. After all, God doesn't want you to be poor. God doesn't want you to go through the things that you're going through. God doesn't want you to scraping and trying. God doesn't... You can be rich today. Now, that sounds like a good thing, doesn't it? But it's not the truth from the Word of God. And by the way, do you realize the healing preachers, if they can really heal, why don't they go to hospitals and heal everybody in the hospital?
Amen.
Think about this with me for just a second. The Apostle Paul had a thorn in the flesh. And I really don't know what it was. I think it was his eyes. That's my personal feeling. But the fact of the matter is he had a thorn in the flesh. And he went to the Lord and he prayed about it. And he prayed about it three times. And I imagine the Apostle Paul says, Lord, why aren't you answering my prayer? And the Lord says, you don't need me to answer that prayer. I'm not going to take the thorn away. You've got the thorn for a reason. But my grace is sufficient for you. You know what? We go through life, and I've through many years, I've had back problems. And when I was a kid, I baled hay like it was going out of style. That's the way I made it. I started out at a quarter an hour baling hay. Then when I got a raise to 75 cents an hour, I thought I was wealthy.
Yeah.
And then some farmer says, I'll give you $1.25 an hour. Wow! And then I went to work for Hy-Vee and got $4 an hour. I thought I was rich. I want to tell you something, but I ruined my back. Because all the work that I did in those days, I ruined my back. And I've had back problems ever since. But you know what? I don't pray and say, Lord, take this back pain away. Because I think His grace is sufficient for me. His grace is sufficient for me. Now, I want to take you... Let's go one more verse. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Corrupt minds. And 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4 tells us that Satan blinds the mind. That's what Satan does. By the way, you ever hear somebody say, well, they sold their soul to the devil? You know, you can, your soul already belongs to the devil until you're saved.
Amen. Right.
There's no selling your soul to the devil. And by the way, I remember hearing about Mick Jagger when I was younger. Mick Jagger sold his soul to the devil, and that's why he's so rich. The devil doesn't care if Mick Jagger's rich.
Right.
That doesn't make any... You know what? The devil, he wants to destroy all of us. And especially if you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, he's out to get you.
Amen.
What he wants to do with these lost folks out here, he wants to blind them and keep them blind. Then he wants to motivate you in the wrong way. He wants you to turn your back on God. He wants you to start living for Him again. He's not for us. He's against us.
Right.
We've got to be very careful what we feed our mind. We've got to be so careful about that. We've got to be careful. Listen, I'm not saying you have to shut off your TV, but we've got to be very, very careful about what we watch on TV. I'm not saying you got to shut off your radio, but you got to be very careful about what you hear on your radio. I'm not saying that you have to do it away with everything, but listen, this is something. This is a fight. This is something that we've got to fight for. It's worth fighting for. It's our mind. I don't want to be corrupt. I don't want to be corrupted in any way. I don't want to have a carnal mind. I don't want to be an enemy of God. I want to be on His side. Amen. Amen? Now I'm going to go very quick. That was just the introduction, but I'm going to go real quick, and we'll be done before you know it. We'll be out of here by midnight. First, I want you to think about this. We're exhorted to renew our minds in the Word of God. Romans chapter 12, yeah. Verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. Why? So you can prove what is that good and perfect will of God.
Amen.
Think about this. Yeah, I remember I taught in Christian schools for many years, and during those years that I taught in Christian school, kids would come up, how do I know the will of God? How do I know the will of God? How do I know the will of God? I want to know the will of God in my life. I want to know, you know what? The will of God is really very simple. You know, all we have to do is give our lives to the Lord, and He'll show us the will of God. But the fact of the matter is, He's not willing that any should perish, but that all come to righteousness. Think about this with me. If you want to really know the will of God, go out and knock on some doors. You want to know the will of God? Tell somebody about Jesus.
Amen.
You want to know the will of God? Go to your lost family members. Talk to them. You want to know the will? That's the will of God. You know something? We're so interested in the will of God. When I was in Bible school, everybody was, oh, I want to be a missionary. Well, where are you going to go? I don't know. What? I want to be a missionary, but I don't know where I'm going to go. Well, you better fall on your knees and find out from God where He wants you to go. And I've heard a lot of missionaries come through. And don't get me wrong, I love missionaries. And I support missionaries. But the fact of the matter is, they come in. And how do you know what field you're going to go to? Well, this missionary came through, and he started talking about Papua New Guinea. And boy, I became burdened about Papua New Guinea. How do you know anything about Papua New Guinea by a missionary that came through and was with you one time? Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it with me for just a second. Now, I'm not knocking missionaries. Please don't go away thinking I am. I love missionaries. But we've had a lot of failures when it comes to missionaries. They go to the field and they last a couple years in their home. And you know, it's sad. And why would that happen if that was the true will of God? Well, I got to the field and God changed His mind. No, God doesn't change His mind. No? God changed His mind. I knew a guy that wanted to go to Australia. We took him on for support and he went to Australia and lasted 6 months in Australia and came home. Well, that wasn't... God changed... He changed my field. And what's your field now? The United States. Yeah, okay. Now, God doesn't change His mind like that. I get frustrated with people that really don't know what the will of God is. You know what? I really believe this with all my heart. Every missionary ought to work under a pastor for at least 2 or 3, maybe 4 Amen. Years before they go out
Amen.
And get their support.
Amen.
I really believe they need to work in a church and find out what church is all about.
Right.
Some people think church. This is church. No, there's more to church than church.
Yeah.
There's more to it. And there's a lot of work that a lot of people never, ever see. There's a lot of prayer that goes up to God that people don't hear. There's a lot of time in the office where messages are prepared and praying and begging God for the right message to preach. There's a lot of door knocking that goes on. There's a lot of visits for those that are members of the church. All of these things are part of the church. And every missionary needs to understand that. And every missionary needs to know what the real work of the church is all about. But if you talk to a missionary, what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to go start churches. And you know what? Sometimes I wish they'd just get 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31 in their mind. Whatsoever you do, do it to the glory of God. I tell you what, I'd take a missionary on just like that. If they'd say, what are you going to do? They'd stand up and say, I'm just going to do whatever I do to the glory of God.
Amen.
Whoa, that's what I want to hear. I want to glorify God. I want to get to Papua New Guinea, and I want to start glorifying God in Papua New Guinea. If I don't ever win anybody to Christ, I just still want to glorify God. And you know the thing of it is, you shouldn't be judged by the amount of people that were saved under your ministry.
Right.
If you're really bringing glory to God, there will be people saved eventually. But it might not happen the first year you're there. It might not. And you know, you wonder about the letters that you get back of all the people that have been saved. But yet, when they talk about their churches, they only talk about 25, 30 people coming. Folks, okay, I got to move on. We're exhorted to renew our minds. Then next, we're exhorted to have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. And if you read that whole chapter, you can find out what the mind of Christ was all about. And then the next thing, we're exhorted to be of a humble mind. Look over here in the book of Colossians. A humble mind. Colossians, if you will, chapter 3 and verse 12 says this. It says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Now back here in Philippians chapter 2, on that same thought of the humbleness of the mind, in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3, it says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, that's humility, let each esteem other better than themselves. Well, I'll tell you what, it'd be good if, you know, even preachers got a hold of this. You know, and you think about it, a lot of times in the pulpit, a church is blessed in a mighty way by God, and then there's an arrogancy that comes into the heart of that preacher because look what I did. No, wait a minute. It's not your work. It's His work.
Amen.
And you know what? Another thing, if you think about it, you go around and you see Christians that are so proud of, they talk about soul winning, and it's kind of like a notch. Every time they have their gun and they put a notch in the gun because of somebody that supposedly got saved. Look what I accomplished. No, wait a minute.
Right.
You didn't accomplish that. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me.
Amen.
And the life that I now live is not my life. It's His that lives through me.
Right.
He works through me. And the fact of the matter is, we take the credit. And the Bible says that God will not give His glory to another person. It's His glory.
Yeah.
Somebody come up to me and say, boy, that was a good message. But no, wait a minute. Praise God.
Amen.
Let's give the glory to God. Don't take His glory away. What are we here for, after all? We're to glorify Him. We're not to glorify us. I remember Brother Harold Boyd, I think it was. He always had these cards they handed out, a good name in evangelism. Nothing wrong with that. But listen, it's not about Harold Boyd, and it never was about Harold Boyd. I knew Harold Boyd very well, so I'm not knocking anything he did. But the fact of the matter is, it was the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And it's His name we lift up.
Amen.
I always had problems with cards, handing out cards, trying to tell people about the ministry. If somebody wants to have me, they can find out from somebody that had me. And let them call me. And I don't want to glorify me in any way. I want the Lord Jesus Christ to be exalted.
Amen.
I've been at this for many years, and I want to do it for Jesus. I don't want to do it for me. That's what humility, that's what lowliness of mind, esteeming someone else better than you. That's what it's all about. And I understand that there are better evangelists. I understand there's better preachers. I understand all of that. But God can still use me. Why? Because I'm available.
Amen.
I've given myself to Him. And these preachers have given themselves to Him for the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. A humble mind. And then we're exhorted to pray. Now, praying brings peace of mind. A lot of people don't understand this. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7 says, casting all your care upon Him. Why? Because He cares for you. Casting all, but you know, you take all those cares and you cast them upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You lay them at His feet. That gives you peace of mind. Now, I want to show you a verse where I can actually prove that. Over here in the book of Philippians, you're already there. I'm glad you're there. Chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Down here in verses 6 and 7. And I just point this out real quick. I'm not going to spend a lot of time with it. But I want you to notice. It says, be careful for nothing. In verse 6. Be careful. You know what that word careful means? No, it's not the Baptist word concerned. Yeah, the Baptists know it's a sin to be worried. So what do? They change the word. I'm concerned. We're all concerned. We're also all worried about something. And it really means to be anxious or worried. That's what that word careful means. So be anxious or worried about nothing. What have we got to be worried about? Nothing. Okay, notice what it says here. It says, be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, I understand there's a period here. But look at the next verse. And. You know what and is?
It's connected.
Yeah, it's a conjunction. It brings the two verses together. In other words, those two verses do not stand alone. They go together. So what's verse 6 talking about? It's talking about prayer. Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and what?
Minds
through Christ Jesus. You see, we can have peace of mind if we pray. A lot of Christians don't understand that. I've talked to through probably hundreds of people that say, I really have a problem in this prayer thing. I just don't have time to pray. You just don't understand my schedule. And you know, sometimes I feel like saying, well, you don't understand my schedule. The thing of it is, I've got a schedule too. And what I've had to do is schedule my prayer time at early in the morning, late at night. I've had to schedule my time because I'm busy doing other things a lot of time. But I want to spend time with God. Now, I'm not a Martin Luther fan, but Martin Luther said that he couldn't get into a day without spending 3 hours in prayer. Can you imagine such a thing? So if you've got burdens and cares, You've got some anxiety problems. You need to give it to the Lord.
Right. Yeah.
Cast it on the Lord. You need to find that time that's before you get into the day where you can get alone with God. Get in that closet. Don't. We're not talking about public prayer. We're talking about that closet prayer where you get alone with God. You're not there trying to prove yourself to anybody. You're not there trying to look religious. You're not there trying to impress anybody, but you're there. It's just you and God. And while you're in that closet, all you can do is just expose your heart and pour it out to God. And every care that you've got, give it to the Lord. Cast it on Him. Every financial problem that you have, every heartache you have, every sickness in your family or friends or whatever. I told you yesterday about a good friend of mine. And when I first met him, he knew I was a preacher. And he came at me. He thought I was the enemy. And after talking to me a while, he says, you know, I like you. I says, well, I don't know why, but he says, I really do like you. I says, all right, now Brad, listen to me. You're an atheist, and you told me you were an atheist. Now, how could you like me? Because I love the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I don't know why. He was disgusted, but he liked me anyhow. Well, he's made some steps, some baby steps along the way. I've been witnessing to him. I've been talking to him about the Lord. I told him that being an atheist was wrong. And he, you know what he told me? He says, I don't know. Nobody else has ever told me I was wrong. I said, well, you are. You're wrong. And so he's taking some baby steps. And he says, I'm no longer an atheist. I said, well, what are you now? He says, I'm an unbeliever. I said, good, we're making progress. We're making progress. Next thing you know, he's going to be trusting Jesus Christ as his Savior.
That's right.
Just keep him in your prayers. But you know who took me to the airport? Brad. Brad promised he was going to come and pick me up in his convertible Mustang. He's got a 2015 Mustang. But he didn't do it because he said it was too cold. I said, you're a chicken. But he brought a brand new Murano, so he took me to... We had a pretty good ride going over there, anyhow. So anyhow, every chance I get... Listen, pray for those lost folks that you talk to. Don't give up on them. What was it? George Mueller prayed for over 60 years to see a man come to know Jesus Christ as his Savior and probably died disappointed because he didn't get saved. But yet it was, I think it was 3 months after George Mueller died, the man got saved. And I guarantee you, in glory, George Mueller was shouting hallelujah.
Amen.
And it was in Hebrew. The fact of the matter is this, you can have real peace of God. You can have that peace of God if you just cast all your cares upon Him. You can have that peace of mind. Sometimes I sit down at night and my brain just keeps swirling. I keep thinking about all the things I didn't get accomplished in the day and that I should have got accomplished. And I keep thinking about this and this and this. And finally I just have to bow my head and say, Lord, please, I can't think anymore. I need you to take it all right now and just let me rest.
Amen.
Then we're exhorted to be of a unified mind. Look here in Philippians chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. It says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Over here in chapter 4 and verse 2, I beseech you to... Eutychus and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Just because I mispronounce those names, don't stop listening to me. Unified. You know what? It says in Acts chapter 2, before the Holy Spirit came down upon those apostles, it says they were of one accord. I believe with all my heart, if there had been any disunity in the church, the Holy Spirit wouldn't have come on the day of Pentecost. They were of one accord. And the Holy Spirit came and blessed 3,000 souls for the result of that day.
Amen.
You know what? If we were of one accord, I go into churches, I preach in a church over in western Iowa. And the husband comes in, sits on this side. The wife comes in, sits on that side. The preacher told me when I went in there, he said that they even live in separate houses, but they're still married. They won't even talk to each other. I noticed the wife, when the husband got up, she waited for him to leave before she left. They didn't want to leave together. Can't be of the same mind that way. So what a wonder God's judgment's going to begin at the house of God.
Right.
When the house of God can't even get along with each other.
Right.
I remember when I was in Bible school, I heard a preacher say, you put two Baptists in a room and before you know it, they're a knockdown, drag-out fight. And that's pretty much true. Through the years, I've been through a lot of churches, and they've struggled with it. And I went to a church one time, I was going to preach, and a fella come up to me and says, I'd like to tell you some things about the preacher. I said, why don't you wait and me, you, and the preacher can sit down. And, no, I don't want the preacher to hear this. I said, I don't want to hear it either.
Amen.
You got something wrong with the preacher, you go to the preacher.
That's right.
Don't come to me. I got other things on my mind right now. I'm going to get in that pulpit. I'm going to preach with everything I got. I don't want anything to stand in the way.
Amen.
I want the Holy Spirit of God to do His work.
Amen.
Let me ask you a question. What's on your mind? What's on your mind? Here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. The Apostle Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, told us exactly what we need to think about. We need to stop thinking about the things that take us away from the things of God. We need to stop thinking about those things that get us down. We need to stop. Listen, we need to get our mind off of the circumstances in Washington, the swamp, and that all those politicians that none of them agree with anything. We need to get our mind on the Lord.
Amen.
Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't find out who you want to vote for, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't go vote. I'm not saying those things. You can educate yourself on those things. But you need to keep your mind on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
My Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, looking unto Jesus,
amen,
the author and the finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus.
Amen.
I want to keep my eyes,
amen,
focused on Him.
Amen.
I want to run the race knowing that He's at the finish line. Listen, when He comes back, and we hear the shout, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and we go up. You know what the first thing we're going to see? Jesus.
Yeah.
When I see Him, I'll be like Him.
Yeah.
Back here in the book of Isaiah, chapter 26 and verse 3, it says, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee, because he trusteth in Thee. Lord, we love You. We thank You for the day that You've given to us. Thank You for the time that we can get into Your book. Dear God, I just pray that something's been said that would stir us, Lord. I just ask, dear God, that You'll do a work in our hearts. I pray that there's something in our life that shouldn't be there that keeps our mind from the things of God. I pray that we'd get rid of it tonight. Please do a work tonight, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed, let's stand together. And we haven't got the music going. We haven't got anything going right now. It's just between you and God. No one's looking around. Why don't you come to this old-fashioned altar? You know some things in your life you need to get right. Maybe you need to get saved. Tonight is the night to do that. And also, you know somebody that's lost, come pray for them. You got family members that are lost. Why don't you come pray for them? You got church members that are causing trouble. Why don't you pray for them? Let's get our mind focused on the one that can handle every problem. Let's cast our care upon Him.
Still praying. I pray. pastor makes a point sometimes. He'll say, how long does it take you to get through that 1 hour prayer, a sweet hour of prayer? Taking our hymnal, and we're going to turn to, we got to find the page here. Oh, let's see. I'm going to turn to I Surrender All. I'm going to find it here in just a second. I know it's in this hymnal. Okay, page 496. If you're still praying, that's fine. Don't let it bother you. Just keep on praying. We're going to turn to page 496. We'll sing the first and last. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. On the last, all to Jesus I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessings fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Brother Richard, will you close us in prayer?
Father, thank You, Lord, that we could be here tonight. Lord, thank You for that message. Dear Father, I pray that You would please help that to settle into our minds. Lord, we need that peace. Be a good testimony for You. But Lord, we need it for our own soul's sake.
Yes.
Amen. Heavenly Father, tonight, thank You for this evangelist coming in.
Uh-huh.
And thank You for the message You laid on his heart for us to hear. Please bless him, Father. Bless his ministry and his work. Please bless Brother Rice and his wife and his church. Lord, thank You that we could come here because they've kept these doors open. You've been just using them. Please continue, Father. And again, we love You and very thankful to be saved. And we are so anticipating, looking for You to come back soon.
Yes, amen.
In Jesus Christ's name we pray.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, folks. Thanks for coming. Thanks, Brother Bennett. And we'll be back here again tomorrow night, same time, same place.
Up there, Jordan Eagle.
Jordan.
Right next to Auburn. Okay, where Auburn is, we're about 20 minutes. East of Jordan. Blessed place. Yeah, we're in the process of actually building a church.
Oh, wow.
Holding services right now in the library. In town. Lord, we bless them and keep us along. I think there's some stimulation. So we're getting excited. We're so close. I was talking to the
fire district,
the code office. Maybe within the next week or so, we might get a certificate of
occupancy. Oh, right.
Yeah.
problem is the price of the cars is coming in. I am terrible with names, brother. What is your name?
It's in my eyes.
I got to get up to
San Diego. I don't know what your name is. That's my opinion. I don't know what I have to do. See, for them to build a way to look at taking this on the versus and have it waiting for it. Look around. I said, he had you open it. Well, what did you? I've seen you before.
Yeah, I was here a couple of weeks
ago. Yeah. And don't pay a lot of money for it. So it's got to be you. Brother, I'm sorry. I see you. When you're in the money, it's around $127,000 before he left.
Well, that's a very
rough. I can't.
I have a
Well, I'm glad it's more.
Just so it's been a pretty
decent rest.
I'm not going to be able to do that.
Back tonight.
Oh, he
had to go home, and he does a what do you call it, like a video thing, but a church, you know, yeah, and he does it live. He said he'll be doing it till 10 o'clock. Starts at 8 and goes 8 till 10. He does it for the Philippines, and there's some other place he does it too. I forget where else the other place was, but he said struggling churches, maybe it's some place in Africa, maybe. But he said the Philippine ones, they're really struggling, and they're really encouraged by an American pastor who knows the Bible. Because none of them guys even know, they're all newly saved people, and they don't know the Bible, so it's pretty good.
But I just introduced my name. I said my name, and they said, "Where do I want to build a church here?"
That's what we are.
I know you are.
Hi, folks.
So you got to come visit us more then.
What's that?
You got to come visit us more when you're white.
Well, I come when there's not things at my church. I often come here. We don't have any Sunday night services. So I was here last night. I hope I'll be here. As long as I have enough energy.
It's right.
You know how to work these things?
No.
Okay. So I stopped that. I think this will be all right. You take this home with you, do you?
Yeah.
Okay, so there's that. And I think we just stopped. Just hit stop.
I think
stop
so, yeah.
Yeah, probably on the side or something. Just something on the side of that.
Oh. Hold power. That's turning it on. This is the thing.